We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to our post-draft reactions. We did have some slight technical difficulties towards the end of the podcast, but either way, hope you enjoy. Let's jump in.
Good morning and welcome to New York. I'm Gabe Ibrahim. This is Dano Mattia. We're in Dano's house because we just watched the WNBA draft last night. I was lucky enough to come up here from DC, stay with my buddy, and got to see the draft. I thought we had a great time, man. What'd you think?
Well, one, I want to thank you for calling this a house.
It's a New York house.
It's a very, very small apartment. But dude, what a time.
What a time.
Saw some surprises, saw some long-term plays by some teams mm-hmm. that we'll get into, saw some great fits. People were dressed to the nines.
Yes.
I love the draft in New York. It means something.
No, it really does. And this city, yes, it is, as we said yesterday, it's the most uncomfortable city in the world. Let's talk general.
You said that.
General vibes of the draft. And I stand by it. General vibes of the draft. We had to stand for the entire time. By the mid first round, my back was locking up. Mm-hmm. I felt like we needed to stretch. We did not work out properly to get ready for the draft, I think.
Yeah, I haven't worked out in like 2 months. but I will say the views that we had, I mean, we stood in a spot. We had it. We get to watch Holly Rowe do her walk around. Lot of complaints on Twitter about that. We could barely hear inside the draft room what Holly was saying. But generally, just from the vibes I get on Twitter, that people don't like it.
It sets everyone up to fail, right? Like, that's a situation that is not good for anybody. And I don't think they should do that again. But yeah, it was pretty cringy in this, just like, why are we sitting around walking? Like, let's just get to the draft. And it was really difficult, obviously, because we couldn't hear the what was being said. So it wasn't like we had any idea what was happening or any context. So yeah, I thought the walk around was weird. We don't need to do that next year. We could just talk hoops, guys. As we always say on this podcast, let's just talk hoops. That's what we're all about. But yeah, no, I thought it was a little... awkward. And as Phoenix said, though, to get back to the general stuff, Zaya killed the fit.
Oh, yes.
Clutch performer. That's what we've been saying all year.
Yes, that's true. You did call that out last night. But to me, all the Gamecocks looked so damn good.
Everyone looked good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, every fit was beautiful, stunning, fun. My favorite was like being right by Kim.
No,
Mulkey.
Yes.
She goes up to Alexis Morris and is like, "Who's that sexy girl?" I mean, amazing.
Oh my God. Kim Mulkey had a great time. Everyone had a great time. We saw all the coaches. I think the coach who had the most fun may have been Terry Mormon. seeing Grace Berger go seventh, staying in Indiana. She was so loud right next to
her. You were right next to her. So when she screamed, did you get like shocked or anything? It was loud.
I kind of saw her coming up and she was like behind. So we were standing next to Bill Fennelly from Iowa State, Kelly Harper from Tennessee. Gino Auriemma briefly walked in front of the commissioner's teleprompter, causing a small panic because he was late because he's Gino. And so that was very, very funny. And then, but I heard her coming up. So I was like, okay, someone's going to come up behind me. I better be ready. And then she just like fist pumped and went crazy. I loved it. That's exactly what the draft's all about.
No, I mean, that was straight up beautiful. How can you not love Terry Moran?
No.
God. Great coach, great person. And Grace is staying in Indiana. Big win for the state of Indiana last night.
Big win for the state of Indiana. And speaking of, that's a great segue into their biggest win. Aaliyah Boston, first overall pick to Indiana. We knew it was coming. Yeah. We've known it was coming all season since the Fever won the draft lottery. And she's going to be the centerpiece of their defense and hopefully a centerpiece of their franchise going forward. I mean, I kind of feel like for us, Aaliyah's got lost in the draft shuffle just because it's been so known that she was going to be the first overall mm-hmm. pick. But now that we've had a second to think, you know, about what she's going to do in Indiana, what do you think her impact could be this season for the Fever?
I think they have a lot to work on discipline-wise defensively. And yes. I think that's where she's going to come in and bring that. I mean, because it's probably a staple of her game. I mean, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get effort. You're going to get size, versatility on the defensive end. She can switch. I mean, obviously, the level of competition is going to be a lot higher mm-hmm. than what she's seen in college. But I love the fit. I mean, it's kind of a piece they needed. I mean, they got a lot of size with her, Smith, Engsler. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they could have some really fun lineups with this squad and seeing them have so many draft picks over the years. It's exciting to finally get that big center that a lot of teams need.
Yeah. And like getting that and getting a post presence, like they're getting someone who can develop with them too. And you know, you see what Asia Wilson did for mm-hmm. Las Vegas. That's the kind of impact they're hoping to have. You know, we're going to see how long it takes her to get there. But I mean, I've said it a few times, like, I just think she's the type of player who's going to figure out every challenge in front of her. Mm. And I think she is going to develop a little bit more in the post and hopefully she develops a little bit more from the perimeter. And I think she's the type of player who can do that. And like you're saying, like, I like it. I like what Indiana has now. You look at the core they have, Nelissa Smith, Queen Egbo, Emily Engsler, the young players, along with Kelsey Mitchell, who's also at the draft.
Stud.
Who refused to tell us who Indiana was picking, which I thought was ridiculous.
But I think she gave some hints.
She was
some
like,
sarcastic hints.
She was having fun on that when we went to go visit the Empire State Building. But you know, she's gonna fit in pretty well with them. And now it's just a matter of how these players develop and then kind of the surrounding talent around them. And I think it's really cool that Destiny Henderson and Aaliyah Boston get to reunite after winning a title together. That's the last time they played together, so that's going to be a really fun reunion. And yeah, good for Indiana. Lynn Dunn getting it done. Okay, Miami Hurricanes legend, by the way.
Yeah, make sure it's with that. Lynn Dunn gets it done. I don't know, something. There's something there.
There's something there. Lynn, we'll call your people. But we got 7 minutes into the podcast before I mentioned Miami.
Yeah. Big win for us.
We're getting there, folks.
On a Tuesday.
But yeah, so I mean, you know, Boston, it's there's not that much more to be said because we know how good she is. We just want to see her in the WNBA at this point, and we get to see it. It was a wonderful moment for her and her family and just everyone there. I mean, it was just, again, the general vibes, amazing all around.
Yeah, she had so much, like, just radiating happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, a bit, all the players, maybe Haley Jones was kind of the same way, but, like, just Aaliyah was smiling the entire day. Like,
yeah,
it was awesome. So happy for her. It was on Good Morning America today. We didn't watch it. We got coffee.
Yeah, we did get coffee. We're pretty tired. Yeah. We're pretty tired, but it's okay. Moving on. You want to get on to the? We're just gonna go through the first like three picks because I think they're all important and interesting, and I think they went the way that I expected. Yeah. So I like to take a victory lap. Shouts to Gabe's mock draft for telling you how those first three picks would go. Diamond Miller to Minnesota.
Gabe's mock draft. I mean, we'll get into kind of the meaty pick at three, but Diamond, like, I've been on Team Diamond for a while. I I mean, I think she has about as much potential as anyone in this draft. So much versatility, so much length, scores at all three levels, not all three levels well yet, but
not yet.
But I love her and the fit with this team. I don't know if she's going to crack the starting lineup. Maybe like she plays. I mean, they have some weird, funky lineups they can do with Diamond. Diamond, Kayla, Ariel Powers. I mean, this team can run.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going to – Lynx are going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, especially, you know, Syl retires, right?
Yeah.
And now they, I mean, put together maybe one of the best transition teams in the WNBA, like you mentioned, with Diamond and Ariel and McBride and Tiffany Mitchell, who's going to be battling for that three spot with Diamond, hypothetically, and then Nafisa Collier at the four.
Forget about her sometimes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do forget about Nafisa.
Yeah. And I mean, like, think that might be one of the best small ball lineups in the league right now. I mean, like, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We haven't seen Diamond play a minute of WNBA ball yet. But if there was someone I was, like, you know, putting a lot of my eggs into one basket, it'd be her. Was there any inkling of anyone that you thought might go to Lynx?
No. Because honestly, you know what happened for us when we were standing there? It was like Diamond's family was behind us. So
yeah.
You're only allowed to have three people at the table with you. So it's Diamond and her parents, and I'm one of her brothers. And she had two other brothers, and I mean, one brother and two sisters who are right behind us. And they start getting all excited when pick two came. So I was like, oh, okay. So we kind of ushered them to the front so they could take pictures of Diamond as she got picked. And you know, you could see the cameras on her, and it was just, so I knew what then,
yeah.
But then it was also like, I kind of felt like there was no way you could not take a player who has so much athleticism, mm-hmm. So many gifts with the ball in her hands on the perimeter. Yeah. Her shooting, it's not there. Maybe it never gets there from three, but she can do so much else with the ball and so much on the defensive end that she's going to fit in with Cheryl Reeves' system. And man, I just thought about that, you know, small ball lineup. Yeah, that
it's fun.
McBride, Powers, Mitchell, Collier as a five, Miller as a four, or however you want to put those guys. That's a really tough lineup to stop.
Yeah. I mean, you give up a lot rebounding, but if you can't stop them from scoring, what are you going to do?
None. And Diamond's a really good rebounder, and Nafisa's a great rebounder, and you could get away with that, hypothetically.
Yeah, as Magic Johnson says, you have to score more points than the other team to win a game.
So yes, the game is, and always is, it always was, about buckets. Magic had a tweet storm, I believe. I don't remember. He did congratulate Bree Beal. I'm not sure he congratulated any other sports picks, but Magic, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, Magic. So that, I mean, Diamond is going to be an interesting fit there. Why is my Twitter in Japanese all of a sudden?
Yeah, well, that's...
Shouts to Elon, man.
That's on you, I guess. But I will say, seeing the fist bump from Gabe Ibrahim, I don't know if we caught it on TV, but when Maddie Seagrass got picked third.
I called it.
I was a little surprised. Then again, like, I don't really know how to kind of evaluate what Dallas is doing. And I don't really know what their plans are long-term outside of building around Enrique. But I mean, you're getting a proven scorer. You're getting somewhat size, but Matty Seagrass is 6'1". And a player who's had to do so much for the last 4 years to finally be able to kind of be a role player on this squad potentially. And I have high hopes for Matty Seagrass.
Oh yeah. No, I think you know, yeah, we've all said it, right? Like, what is Dallas's plan? Apparently their plan in this draft was to get white shooters.
Said it.
Every single one of their draft picks was white, and every single one of them could shoot. I may probably just coincidence. But Dallas, you know, they did lose Marina Mabry, and I guess you do need, you know, six shooters to try to replace her, because you just kept stacking up these picks, and Maddie being the first one. And Maddie was the one that I thought really fit with what they're trying to do. I mean, you look at where this team is, they don't have a ton of shooting anywhere, really. I mean, just Sobley has the hypothetical shot that we haven't really seen. Burton, her shot came around, but she's not necessarily a shooter at the point guard position. Tasha Howard, can shoot three is not her game, and then Tierra McCowan just doesn't step outside the paint. So now you're looking at this team that doesn't have a ton of shooting, can use a bench score, someone to handle the ball on the bench, and just like a secondary scoring option to attack from the other side of Arike. I think Maddie's going to give them that along with that shooting, so she can be on the floor a little bit more with Arike and kind of, you know, help on the backup lineups and play with all of Dallas's talent. I just think she's a really versatile fit for what they're trying to do, and they have enough defensive talent, I think, to kind of cover for her in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's valid. And I mean, it's weird seeing a team essentially get three straight picks because of the trade, which we'll get into later. We'll
talk about that.
But yeah, I mean, if you think about kind of the ceiling of Maddie, I really can't put context to it. I could be amazing. Like, could be an absolutely amazing player if she develops a handle and other ways to score. Because like we said with, you know, Aaliyah Boston going up against much tougher competition, you're not going to be scoring 1,000 points a season. But Maddie has tools and all different types of shot creation that a lot of players don't come into the league with. And I think, you know, the stuff she's had to go through at Villanova of holding, you know, that production load is going to be great for her. And you get to play alongside one of the best shot creators in the league right now. So it could be fun. I mean, I want to stay optimistic with Dallas. That's what I want to do.
Oh, I'm optimistic. I'm just, there's a pattern with their draft picks.
Yeah.
It's shooting. Shooting was the pattern. Shooters. No, but for Maddie, yeah, the ceiling point's interesting because, like, do you see her as an all-star? Do you see her as a role player? You know, to me, I think her game, and don't get me wrong, folks, listen to what I'm about to say, has the stylings of an Elena Deladon. And that's someone that she said, like, I watched a lot of her to kind of pick up some of her moves, some of her fadeaways, kind of has the stylings of that. So how do you deploy that in a package that's smaller than Elena Deladon, right? Like, is that a type of player who can become an all-star? Because I think, you know, we didn't say this with the first two picks, but I think Aaliyah Boston, we think her ceiling is probably defensive player of the year, you know, someone who can get into the MVP conversation with development. Dia Miller, I think can be an all-star ceiling. I think she's a starter most likely. Yeah. And then with Maddie, it's kind of like, you know, more all over the place.
Yeah. Definitely probably a lower floor than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that Deladon comp, just in a smaller package. And anytime someone says Deladon, you can't help but smile and think about one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I mean, and same thing, versatile scorer, like incredible footwork, incredible touch. That's Maddie probably has the best touch of anyone in this draft.
Yes.
Like, it's such a weird concept of just evaluating someone's touch with the ball, but like she catches everything and she makes ridiculous shots. So, yeah, I like it.
I like it too, and I think it really fits in with their surrounding talent. So, I like that move for Dallas. Let's get into the other move that perhaps we don't like as much for Dallas. With the fourth overall pick, the Washington Mystics, who again got this pick from the Atlanta Dream last year for trading down from the number one overall selection, which that pick they got from the LA Sparks the year before. So they've kind of rolled this pick over for a few years and gotten some great talent and some great value out of it. And this one is just an amazing move, in my opinion, for Mike Thibault. He continues to do this. He can't keep getting away with it. I don't know, but Mike and Eric Thibault pull off. Can't keep getting away with it. Actually, I'm fine with it because I live in D.C., so this is great stuff for me. But so they draft Stephanie Suarez from Iowa State, a center front who has, you know, a really high ceiling, amazing stuff that she can do, but she can be hurt all year. So the Mystics take her and then immediately move her to Dallas for a future first-round pick in 2025 from Atlanta that the Wings picked up this offseason in the Alicia Gray trade, and a 2024 second-round pick. Both those picks, I think, could be really good players considering how deep the 2024 draft is looking. And then if some of those players do not come out that we're thinking about in 2024, some people such as Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, Haley Van Lith, bunch of great college players. If those players don't Angel Reese, if those players don't come out in 2024, guess what? They come out in 2025. And 2025, I'm pretty sure those players do not have a COVID year. So that's a like Olivia Miles, Sonia Citrone,
AZ Flood.
Those players are coming out in 2025. So that 2025 draft could be unbelievable. And the 2024 draft could be deep enough that that second round pick that the Mystics get from the Blue Wings is also super valuable for a player that with I can almost guarantee you Washington did not want. Unbelievable stuff from Mike Tebow.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you have some insight into the Mystics front office and you were texting some people last night. And
I had no insight into that with that happening.
Well, yeah, no insight to it happening, but to the kind of I mean, your immediate look at me when it was announced just was wow. Yes. And I'm like, really didn't grasp the situation of like how smart this was. I mean, like it's essentially like we have a great roster right now. We did super well last year, Shakir Austin, and you know what's down the horizon. And I mean, you're really setting up, you know, new head coach Eric Diebold to be in a spot to grow with this team and to get better in the next coming years. It's fantastic. So, it's hard to say. A team who didn't have a first round pick did exceptionally well in a draft, you know, because they don't have one now. They traded away, but they did.
Yeah, no, they did an amazing job. And like, especially for this team that, you know, by and large for the Mystics is totally set. Like the roster is almost completely set. And, you know, they just, I don't know how they continue to pull this stuff off. I mean, I feel like we heard all those rumblings of the Suarez interest, and I'm guessing, and it didn't come from me because I don't do the reporting at this point, but it seemed like the Mystics were kind of pushing that out there to show how much they really like Suarez so that the Wings would think they were really like Suarez. And then once they took her, that's kind of when the move came together. Again, no inside information, just kind of reading the tea leaves and guessing what happened. Just like, an unbelievable move. I just think it was such a great move. And hey, look, maybe it doesn't work out right. Maybe the Mystics second round pick next year doesn't make the team. Maybe the first round pick turns out to be like the 10th pick and it's not a difference maker. Okay. Still, from an asset perspective,
yes, asset. Yep.
From an asset perspective, to take this pick that you didn't see anyone helping you this year and turning it into some future assets, that's what you want to see. And it's not like in the way that, and no offense to Dallas, because I actually kind of like what they've done, but like Dallas kind of is turning too much of those things into future picks. Mystics taking picks, turning it into future picks. That's really difficult to do in this league, and it doesn't happen very often. It seems to really only happen for the Mystics. So I'm just stunned and floored by what they did. As per usual, Mike Tebow's a wizard.
I want to ask you a question, and like, just like, I mean this in the nicest way. Is Stephanie Suarez in your mind worth a future first and a future second, knowing the context of who is going to be coming out in these next two drafts?
No. I mean, frankly, yeah. No one is. Like, that's why I was shocked.
Wow. No one is.
In this draft, I would not have traded any future first round assets for any players in this draft. And not to say like
maybe Boston?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, yeah, the players you couldn't trade for, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. It sounded like a blatant statement. I'm sorry.
One, two, maybe even three. Maybe give up, but not even, because you can't even protect the picks. So like, yeah. To me, I'm not doing that, because like, I love Maddie Segers and I love Diamond Miller. Leah Boston's different, but you couldn't get her. That was ungettable. Yeah. There's no way to get her.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of the players in this draft are worth giving up the future, you know, just the potential value.
Yeah. It's not even close.
It's not even, and like, yeah. It's not to say that these players are so much better coming out. It's just like, the future value of a pick is worth so much just to say we have a pick and just to be able to use this pick in the future, right? Now the Mystics can take this 2025 pick, yeah, and trade it for someone who maybe could be an impact player next offseason in terms of a veteran.
Yeah, and mind you, like, the Mystics are not going to be a lottery team. They are going to be outside of the top two. We got to come up with a name for the top two. Outside of the super teams.
Right.
They are a contender. Like, so having these picks and still being able to put an incredible product on the court, as a Houston Rockets fan, this is something I have no context of. Like, you know, so yeah, I'm incredible.
this is, I mean, this is like stuff that rarely happens where a team this good, who they made the playoffs, you know, they made the playoffs last year, and they still get this pick. And then the year before, getting that pick for getting the number one overall selection. I mean, that's just, it's a great franchise in terms of that. And they have turned it into stuff. And I think with the Land Deladon's health coming back, that'd be great for them. Let's talk about it though, from the Dallas side. I know I get really caught up in the Mystics, obviously. But for Dallas, so they make this move.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand the idea here in terms of, we have a billion first round picks already.
Yeah.
Going forward. And now, you know, we have a treasure trove. This player is someone that, if they hit, is a tremendous piece, right? Yeah. If the theory of Stephanie Suarez comes true, she's a 3-point shooter. She can play, you know, out in as well as in out, and she can be just a tremendous rim protector. You've created someone that is, you know, the center you have now, Tierra McCowan, with a wider skill set. Yeah. If it hits, so yeah. I understand taking the flyer there. I think they gave up too much, but if they really like her, I do understand it.
Yeah, and we're talking about somebody who's like played half a season at the D1 level.
294 minutes at D1.
So, and she was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did fantastic. So the potential for growth is still there. I mean, you know where I stand. Like, I didn't like the Sobley pick last year. I don't like picking injured players. Mm-hmm. And I don't. And it's a bad sign of things to come. Just in general, but it, like you said, if it works out, stays healthy, and continues to grow as a player, definitely has a high ceiling. So I'm with it. I just would not have. I don't want to be mean to Dallas. I just wouldn't have done it.
I wouldn't have done it either. But they do. And look, this Dallas. I'll look it
up.
It's
a risk.
It's an absolute risk. But I kind of get where they're coming from, because they want to be more set up, I believe, going forward in terms of where they're going to be. They don't want to have, I don't think they want to continue having all of these picks. It is their issue, but they still have two first rounders next year. So they still have two first rounders next year. And the following year, I believe they only have their own now. Yeah. So they only have their own in 2025, but still, like, that's a lot of picks, right? That's a lot of picks for a team to have. So I understand the mentality of it, of like, this player, we can get her in and see what she's like, and then not have to have her on the roster this year, because someone's getting cut from these teams, right? Not everyone can make a team. So I get it, but I don't think I would have ended up doing it. Then, like, right after that, the next pick was also kind of a shocker, with Lou Lopez-Genishal going fifth.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, I'm a big Lou fan, 44% from three this year. UConn player, like, great. You know, UConn players get a lot of benefit of the doubt from me, because they play in the pro system. She can hit pull ups, she can hit catch and shoots. One of the best shooters in draft, and for my money, the second best shooter in the draft. But she is a really, really good shooter, and they wanted someone who I think could do exactly what she wanted. Just taking her fifth, I don't know. Maybe other teams were higher on her. I didn't have her that high. So yeah. maybe they were forced to take her there in case they would miss.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the alternative is with, you know, as far as like what they were looking for. Cause I mean, they were able to get some players late that were still around that I probably didn't see, mm-hmm. but I also think Lou, like just from her, like, come up, I mean, you were talking about a player from Fairfield who, and we thought her collegiate career was over.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect what she was going to do at UConn. Complete surprise. I mean, she was the best offensive player on the team that year.
Yeah, I think that's fair, sir.
And the potential is up there. I've been saying potential way too much, but
that's the draft, baby.
But yeah. I'm just so damn proud of Lou. That is so, awesome. so sick. And I hope she tears it up. I mean, I still got to look at, like, the whole composition of this roster to understand, like, exactly how she fits. But the good thing about her game is she can really play off ball well. Like, I think that was the problem with, you know, the Marina Arike minutes. It's, I think those players are most successful when they both had the ball in their hand and were able to create. Lou is going to be moving around screens constantly, you know, setting herself up for open shots. And Arike is definitely a much better passer than she gets credit for. I mean, she's going to love finding Lou in the corner. So I'm with it. I think this is probably my favorite pick of Dallas's.
Yeah. No, I think, look, and this is something I always say pretty much every year is like, oh, a lot of people like say, oh, that's a stretch, right? Like, that's a reach. Oh, you reach. Like, that player would have been available later. It's like, I don't care about that. If the player, if you pick a player that's a player you like and it's a player you think is going to be really good in your system, I don't care where you pick them. Yeah. Like, hey, maybe there's an opportunity cost here, right? Like, they did have to give up the opportunity of taking a Haley Jones, a Grace Berger. But, you know, they ended up getting the people I think they really liked. And maybe they saw, you know, they have more intel than us. So they probably heard someone else is interested in Lou between 6 and 11, and they had the 11th pick. And they said, hey, we have to grab her now. We don't care if it's reach. That's our girl. So I just think it doesn't matter what pick she got selected at. I think she's going to be helpful for them.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to see how quickly she develops. And, you know, like you're saying, like, this roster is interesting. Like, we are going to see, I mean, it's looking like, you know, you just look at it, Charlie Collier probably not going to be on this roster next year. That's the number one pick that they had before. You know, you look at Jasmine Dickey, is that player is going to stick around here now? Because they have three picks and they currently have 11 players on the roster. One of them is a training camp contract. And then so we have two players basically that they're going to have to move in order to get all three of these draft picks in. So interesting state of the roster. I think they did get shooters though that play off the ball, which, as you mentioned, is huge for Arike.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of wanted them to take like a more of a slasher. I mean, they lose Thornton, but you have Howard, but Howard's not really a slasher. Not a bad cutter.
Yeah.
But this is where I think somebody like Jordan Horston would have been a solid pick for Dallas. I think Jordan Horston has a lot of potential. I'm not as high on her as other people were. I don't think she was the best player on her Tennessee team.
No.
But I think that's something that they are going to be missing. And, I mean, granted, Savalee's been hurt a lot. So, you know, who knows? But still. You get third, fourth, fifth pick, and then now then you get 11 and you take another white shooter. So
they took Abby Meyers 11th, and I think calling her a shooter is a little bit like
Lou, score.
Yeah, Lou's a shooter.
Yeah,
I would say Abby's a dog, man. Abby's a dog. Like, she is just someone who's gonna do anything for your team. Like, and you know, one of the people also that can get in a fight for your team. Like, I just think she's a toughie, and I love the way she plays basketball. I was not shocked. Because we had talked about her in the first round. Like, it wasn't crazy for them to pick her in the first round. But I would say that it was a little surprising. And then, you know, just to wrap up Dallas's draft, Ashley Jones in the second round. And shouts to our guy Calvin Wetzel. Paige Robinson of Illinois State in the third round, baby. Let's go, Paige. Let's go, Redbirds.
Go, Redbirds.
We are the Redbird faithful here on the Her Hoop Stats podcast. But, man, at Dallas's draft, as always, interesting.
Yeah.
We knew it was going to happen. That was another thing we knew was going to happen.
Yes.
Dallas or Indiana are going to do something that makes you go, wow. And it wasn't Indiana this year. It really good for them. Yes. Lynn Dunn, baby.
Yes. Yes.
Lynn Dunn getting it done. But yeah, so I think we're good on Dallas. Let's move on to some of our questions here that I have. So my first question, Dano, to use, who do you think, which player ended up in a really good situation for them? Who has the best fit for a pick and a team?
Ooh, I mean, part of me wants to say Diamond Miller, right? I think that just kind of works for with everything we talked about before and the opportunity to play with some extremely talented players and a coach that will kind of let her like be her.
Yeah.
But really just like Lou.
You like Lou?
I like Lou.
Wow. I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's a great fit. Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, shooters, man. I love shooters.
Yeah.
I love offense.
Well, and like specifically, right? Like that is what we talked about, Dallas. They needed someone like her, and she's going to come in and just be able to do what she's good at.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point. I love Diamond as well. I think her there with Ariel Powers, Kayla McBride, and Cheryl Reeve, like,
so fun.
She's going to be put into some great positions. I mean, she's going to come off those Iverson cuts, rip through, go right to the basket, which is what she did in college. And she's going to have even more space to do that with shooters coming off, man. Like, I think she's going to learn a lot more about how to play the position that they need her to play, which is kind of like a point forward-ish.
Yeah. Thing.
I think she's going to have a lot more reps in that. And it's going to be awesome to see. So I'm excited for her. My pick, though,
yeah,
and this is one that we have really excited about during the draft, Haley Jones to Atlanta.
Yes.
I hadn't considered her getting to six because she was someone that we didn't see dropping, and we're fans of Haley, and she's a great player. Mm-hmm. Honestly, may have had the most fun of anyone at this draft. Got her camcorder at the Empire State Building, you know, just like talking to everyone. Like she kind of felt like the mayor. Like, she, you know, she came up to Taylor Mike's cell, and I guess they had talked about their outfits before. And she goes, Taylor, you know, the outfit really came together. And I was like, yeah. She's so cool. And like, I don't know. I really like, we've all fallen in love with Haley, but I think her in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Perfect fit, right? Like being that point forward with Ryan Howard and everything they want to have going. I think it's a great landing spot.
You know, and because we talked about this a little bit before, and I mean, you brought up Haley being a fit at a lot of different teams, but you said Atlanta yesterday. But I was kind of hoping for Dallas, mm-hmm. Just because I guess I was hoping that you'd just go higher. But like thinking about it holistically, and like what they're building there, and the culture of that team, it's like it's young, but it's like exciting energy and a really awesome opportunity for, I mean, like you told me 2 years ago, you're getting Haley Jones with the sixth pick in the draft. Like
I'm blue.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of us kind of fell into a thought process of looking at this season only, but like Haley could be the best player to come out of this draft.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
Maybe best IQ in this draft too. Like best basketball IQ, I mean.
Yeah.
And she did go to Stanford.
Yeah, she's up there too. I mean, hard to find people as good at everything as Haley Jones is. Like she's so much better at podcasting than us. It's not fair. Yeah. It's not fair, Haley. Like stop it.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's a great podcast. Yeah. You guys should listen to that.
Yeah, great call. Great fit though. Yeah.
But like, man, I really love in terms of the basketball fit too. Like, they need a point guard. Not that Ari McDonald's not good. Just like she's not necessarily the type of player who kind of runs the offense as much. I think Haley's the type of player who runs the offense and fits alongside Ryan Howard.
Yeah.
And you said it like, hey, if you told me 2 years ago you get Haley Jones six pick. If you told me 2 years ago as Atlanta where we were that we're gonna get Ryan Howard and Haley Jones. After having the number three and number six picks in the draft, because that's what they had. They had the three pick they traded up.
Yeah.
So, like, man, I'm just, like, I'm so impressed by what they've done. Dan Padover in a few years and Tanisha Wright in Atlanta. I think Haley's landing in a great spot. And I think it goes back to something I always talk about on here. In life and in basketball, your success is so determined by your situation and the people around you. And she is going to a place and a situation and the people that can make her successful.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of those concerns about her shooting, her finishing, what she did this year, how she struggled, yada, yada. Well, hey, now you're in a place that can get rid of those concerns and help you and make you better. And she's going to get better. I mean, she's just that type of person. I'd say all these players can get much better. That's why they're in the – that's why they're picked in the first round of the draft, right?
For sure.
So I'm really stoked for her just in terms of – landing in the right spot because hey look in your life in the draftee's life everywhere situation and who you're around matters.
Yeah, that's why I keep you around.
Oh man, that's why I keep Dana around.
No, but I was also gonna say, like, if shooting is the biggest thing to harp on with a player, like that's like the easiest teachable thing. And I know I said I love shooters before, but like I don't mean to bring up an NBA comp. Like I know people hate when people do that, but like, look at Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Was one of the worst shooters I've ever seen. And now, like, an absolute consistent threat from three. Like, that, if that's what you have to worry about her development, you're fine. Like, she can correct that in an offseason, in my opinion. It just, I mean, she wasn't really asked to do that at Stanford either.
Yeah. No, I agree. And so, with shooting, I actually disagree. I think shooting's really tough to teach, right?
Gabe, I'll take you out to St. Catharines Park.
Look,
20 minutes and I'll make you the best shooter in the east side of Manhattan.
Look, you got to teach me how to do that because I love my team. My team's great, great guys. We practice shooting so hard. They work their butts off and we just not get better at shooting throughout the season. So hopefully during the offseason we do that. As Mike Nabors told us,
yeah,
at the Final Four, we're good at shooting, we're bad at making. So maybe Haley Jones just bad at making. But honestly, here's the thing with Haley Jones that I want to point out. When you look at players that have a large volume of threes, mm-hmm. you can kind of determine how good they're going to be going forward. So if you've taken like 100 threes a year or even 100 threes in one season, mm-hmm. we can kind of see like how good you're going to be in terms of like, did you get to a point where you could be a good shooter? Haley has such small volume mm-hmm. that it can get much better with a lot more game reps, a lot more practice with it, a lot more focus on it, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Someone like a Jackie Young comes to mind. Jackie mm-hmm. Young at Notre Dame, mm-hmm. she shot a really good percentage in her senior year, but it was on like, I don't know, 25 attempts, like very, very few attempts. So when you look at that low volume, you can say, hey, there is growth potential there. Yeah. And same with someone like a Grace Berger. I think that's also mm-hmm. one of the thought processes. Yeah. She shot 40% on like,
yeah.
I don't know, 30 attempts. That's another part of the thought process of like those low volume shooters have more of a way to get better in the
yeah.
pros.
Yeah. Valid. I love that Jackie Young comparison.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe that she, looking at her season last year, like that she only took 25 threes as a senior. What a fun Notre Dame team.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What an amazing team.
Yeah. God.
What an amazing team. All right. Let's keep going. Karina, I don't know. What did I sound like? What sounds like a me problem? But anyways, yeah, Karina, we're gonna give Leticia Yama here a shout out here. I think it's a good pick. I think that's another player that's landing in a good spot. She can learn from Monique Billings. I think that's kind of the player she's gonna be more or less like. And hey, get the ball in her hands a little bit more because there was not a lot of ball to go around at South Carolina. Develop that offensive game, and you know, get even better. But I think her defense is gonna be an absolute problem in WNBA and her length. All right, let's keep it rolling here because we've obviously. We're windbags. We talk a lot. Let's talk about who we think is going to be Rookie of the Year.
Ooh, yeah. Easy. Not easy, actually.
Well, so I'll give you want to give the hard answer or the easy answer?
You go first.
Okay. It's Aaliyah Blossom. She's just going to she's gonna have the most opportunity. She's going to have the biggest name recognition. And I think she's going to be in a situation where she's going to be relied upon the most. I could see her struggling offensively in her rookie year, but honestly, I think she's going to be able to grab rebounds and play such good defense that if people really pay attention to her, I'm guessing she's going to have the best or most productive rookie season just because of all the opportunities she's going to get.
Okay. I'm going to also, you know, be annoying and drop an NBA reference.
Okay.
The Michael Carter Williams Rookie of the Year Award, like great stats, awful team. Jordan Horst in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to play.
She's going to play.
And she's going to have a lot of opportunities to do things aside of, I mean, like, who else do they have scoring? Gabby Williams isn't coming back. Sue Bird's not coming back. Brianna's not coming back.
Yeah, I got their starting five as Kia Nurse, Jewel Lloyd, Sammy Whitcomb, Ezzie McGregor, Mercedes Russell. And then their bench is, no offense to any of these players, kind of a mess. Like, it's just not, there's players that haven't been in the league for a little bit. Maybe Jade Melbourne comes over, but I'm with you. I mean, like, especially because, I don't think Seattle's going to be that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're going to be a lottery team. I think they're going to challenge for the...
Do they make the playoffs?
You're asking me May questions in April, buddy.
My bad.
I don't think so, though. Okay. Initial gut check, I don't think they make the playoffs. Yeah. I think they're probably the last team out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. But if say they start off bad, like, if I'm a team, I'm worried about developing my young talent, mm-hmm. right? Like, if the writing's on the wall, we're not making the playoffs. Like, let's get Jordan Horst at some reps. Do I think she can average you know, 12 and 5? I don't think so. But like, I don't see any of these.
I could see her doing that.
I don't know, but it's hard to see any of these rookies stepping into a role like some of the rookies we've had, yes, in recent years. Like Ryan Howard was anointed like,
yeah,
the probably highest usage percentage of a rookie we've seen since Candace Parker or something, you know. Like she was shooting more shots than anybody on her team, and that doesn't normally happen in what year are we in? 2023? Like that was, yeah. Ryan Howard's season was awesome.
Yeah. Ryan and Shakira had,
yeah, oh my God,
legendary rookie years. And Alyssa had a good year too. It just got lost in the shuffle with those two.
Yeah. So I mean, like it's hard. I guess it's hard to compare them to other years, but yeah, I mean, I think Boston's a safe pick. You're right.
Yeah. No, but I like Horston too, because you're like, you know, she is going to get opportunity there. They don't have that sort of athletic, the athlete on the, and in most positions. I mean, Jewel Lloyd obviously is there, but she, yeah. And also I really love the idea of Horston learning from Lloyd. With all her athleticism, she just needs more of a moveset, more of a way to get to her spots, and obviously more shooting. And I think those three things are something that Jewel,
yeah,
got better at.
Talk about a pull-up queen, my God.
And that's what, yeah, and that's who she needs to learn from. So
yeah,
I think Horston has a shot at Rookie of the Year as well. You know, but I have Boston up top. I could see Seegers doing it. Hey man, why don't we give some Haley Jones? Haley Jones, a little love. Haley Jones. I mean, really?
I mean, you're talking
about could step into the starting lineup.
She averages what 10 boards last, yeah, year? 7 assists. No, it might be too high. 5. I don't know.
She's not gonna have two giants in the paint. Yeah,
I want to see it translate. I mean, she's probably the person I'm most intrigued by. So yep. Yeah, I can see it. But Boston's a safe play. I'm a betting man, and if I were to bet, I mean, if I were to set odds, she would be the odds-on favorite for sure.
Yeah, Boston is and she's gonna, man, I'm excited to see Boston.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Boston, but it's just like a player we know so much about. But yeah, I think Jones up there, Horston up there. Hopefully, and I'm sure there's going to be someone that comes in from left field as well. Speaking of left field, steal of the draft. Let's dive a little deeper. I would say, so preliminarily, I would say Jordan Horston is a steal of the draft. I had her at the 4th pick. She drops down to 9. I think Seattle did a great job of snagging that talent and that potential. But we kind of want to dig a little deeper here. So who is your steal of the draft, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, should we keep it out of round? Let's keep it out of round one.
Out of
like
round
just,
one.
Just, I mean, and granted, like we know that not every player is going to make a roster, yeah, but you know, let's say in a perfect world they do, or I mean, it's a stash player and they play later, but yeah. So yeah, let's keep it round two.
Okay.
You know, this is completely vibes, and I think I'm changing my pick from what I discussed with you, okay, earlier and what I said last night.
Sure.
These are vibes. This is probably like if we had a dog of the year, like dog got that dog in her, like absolutely. She caught me off guard yesterday. She called me out for asking how I knew she would be okay on the top of the Empire State Building. Alexis Morris, if she can make that roster, like I know it's gonna be hard. But she has the confidence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's no, that is unquestionable.
Yes.
She absolutely has the confidence.
She has the confidence. Has like the ability to manage a game like not a lot of other point guards do. I think Henny also had that ability, right? Mm-hmm. Like really control the pace. Doesn't have to score, but can score anytime she wants. And like it may be redundant with Nia Claudin.
I think they're actually different.
You think they're different enough?
Yeah, I mean they're both small, but I mean Nia is more of a shooter, pull up type of player. Spot up type of player, whereas Alexis has the pull up game. I think they're different enough.
Okay. Yeah, I mean I would love to see her make it. I told her mom I'm going to Connecticut. I'm going to make sure that she's taken care of. Shout out Beaumont, Texas. Yeah, so maybe I'm going way off topic there. I mean, you could also say Bree Bill, who Holly just badgered about why she didn't score.
And also, she was a 38% three-point shooter this year, just for the record. I thought. But regardless, no, I actually really like Alexis Morris, because I have my depth charts here, and I'm looking around, and it's like,
is there a shot?
I think there's a shot. I mean, I don't know. I got to look at the salary cap situation and see if they can carry 12 players. If they can carry 12 players, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players battling for a spot. Few of them, like, you know, Kiara Smith was their own pick last year. I would probably say Morris has a better shot. Niara Fields, interesting prospect, Canadian player. And then we have Kiki Herber-Harrington coming back. And then, you know, Victoria McCauley and Ashton Prechtel, who I think they're just coming in to hang out for a brief week in Connecticut. Yeah, coming out. Yeah, they want to go see the Mohegan Sun, really.
Oh, yeah.
The Taj Mahal of southeastern Connecticut casinos.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to get in trouble with Connecticut fans here or the Mohegan Sun tribe, but, like, I need that team somewhere else in America. I really do. I really do. I hope I never have to go back there. But I will, I'll make Gabe go with me, but yeah, I mean, if it works out, great. Really hope there's a spot for her. I mean, that team can be really fun this year. Yeah. It's going to be so different, without Jonquel in the mix. And, I don't think they've ever really relied on guard play too heavily in the last few years. But I mean, you have like one player that plays all five positions anyways. So,
yeah.
So I don't know. That's fine. Who's yours?
I just want to get some of their comments in here about Beal, and hey, shout out to Maya Hirsch. She's not coming over this year, but shout out to Maya Hirsch.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of people saying Beal as the player, and I think that's a great point. It's just she has an uphill battle to make the roster. She's also a really good player.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's certainly not out of it. Mark Schindler. Come on, Mark. God. Uncasville is the Vegas of the Northeast. Get him out of here.
Yeah, well, one, that's Atlantic City, but
yeah, really.
Yeah, gosh. Get out of Ohio for once.
Get out of here.
Clown.
Get out of here.
Just kidding, Marco.
Hey, shouts to Zaya Cook, though. Toledo, Ohio forever. Zaya, just like a personal love of mine.
God.
She didn't fit into any of the categories.
But we have not talked about her, but like Mike, oh yeah, you said the best fit. And you said clutch performer. Yeah. God, yeah. I just love her so much.
As the owner of a very large house on Zaya Cook Island, I'm elated. I'm elated that she's going to be she was a first round pick, and I was right on that.
Your house still as big on Nia Cloud Nine Island?
I had to get rid of some of it to buy some property on Zaya Cook Island and various other places. But we're diversifying. It's like I have my condo there. We're okay. I think she's, you know, Nia's going to be great, man.
Okay.
The spot up here. All right. My steal of the draft. Let's get to it. I have two because I like to cheat. I like Elena Chinecki at 20. Ooh. I had her as a first round pick to the Mystics. She's on the Mystics. Look,
They need a guard.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it, though. It's going to be tough for her to make the roster. She had to beat out some good players. Abina Westbrook is on that list. Jasmine Jones on that list. Going to have to beat out some really good players, but I love the way she operates in the pick and roll. I love that she can pull up from above the break on the three-point line. Those two skills are like what you need to be a good backup point guard in the WNBA, and the Mystics need a good backup point guard. So I think she can fill that role if she makes the team. I'm excited to just meet her in training camp too. I think she's just a dog, and you know, Jose Fernandez, Mr. Miami, he's even more Miami than me. It is down there at South
Florida. More Miami than me.
So I'm a huge fan. But yeah, I think she has a shot. But I think the player who actually is my steal of the draft, because I thought about it last night, is Dorca Juhas. Dorca going, I forget what number, she goes to the Minnesota Lynx in the second round at pick number 4, so that's 16th pick. Maya Hirsch, as I mentioned, staying in France for a season. So that big that, you know, they picked in the first round, not going to be there, going to be more of a stash. They still have a need for these stretch bigs. There's never enough stretch bigs.
Well, and they succeed for sure there. Well, I'm blanking on her name.
Okay. Oh, we're back, baby.
Jesus Christ.
We're back. Let's go. The steal of the draft is us being able to come back on the StreamYard after losing all connection in the house. Shouts
the most uncomfortable city.
Shouts the most uncomfortable city in the world. Also the best city in the world somehow. Phoenix, we're saved, baby. Oh, that's Tiger. My bad. Y'all got the same. I always just see the South Carolina stuff. Love y'all. Love y'all. All right. What were we talking about? Dorca Juhas. Yes. I just think she's the type of player that they love in Minnesota. She has a chance to make that roster. And she, like the UConn players, I know everyone's going to want to hate this. I'm going to say this about the South Carolina players too. Once, you know, program, we could say, oh, look at all these players. We probably say that now too. But like UConn players just come into the league. They know what to do. And I think she is like the type of big that really could work there. And hell, like, there's a chance she could be like the sixth, seventh player if she really works out, you know, with some of the questions they have in their front court. So that is like my steal. Along with Chineke, I just think Dorca has a better chance to make it the roster.
I'll throw one more second round pick at you. Sure. Just real quick, Keanu Traylor.
Yeah.
Like, absolute stud. Yeah. Tweeted last night, love the pick. Maybe can make that Chicago Sky roster.
I think she's going to make the Chicago roster.
Like, talk about improvement over the last year. Was confident as hell. Excited for her. Works extremely hard. Hoping for the best.
Yeah, no, I think she's an awesome player. Kenny Brooks system, baby. It's our guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey.
It's one of those days.
Just one of those days. Just one of those days, guys. But all right. Hey, Phoenix, we're back, baby. We're back. All right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, last question of the draft. I can't change the banner because we don't have internet. We're going to talk about the winner of the draft. So, Dano, who's your winner of the draft?
My winner of the draft. Oh, man, that's tough.
It's fine.
Dawn Staley won.
Yes.
Like, just God. I mean, if you're a recruit and you see that, like, ooh.
She's going to be playing the video of this draft forever.
Yeah, five players. I think it's the fourth time in history that a team has sent five players in the draft. But if I'm picking a team, I'm right between the Fever and – no, you know, I'm going to pick the Fever. I don't think I've ever shown Indiana, like, consistent love ever. But one, your fan base is probably hyped with the addition of Grace Berger. You get the
Boston. Boston.
I mean, the absolute number one pick of all time.
And I think people
number hear us, yeah. Number two, you get one of the best shooters of all time. Yeah. I think Taylor Mikesell has that kind of potential.
I think she's the absolute type of person who can come in and make that team and like make a big difference as a shooter because she just has that one magic skill. I'm picking the Washington Mystics without a first round pick because what they did was just, I think, such a great asset play. I think it was so them. I'll make a pick based on the draft picks. I love what the Lynx did. I think getting Diamond Miller, getting Dorca Juhas, getting Maya Hirsch, who could be a really, really good player down the line. Very on brand for Minnesota and giving Cheryl Reeve those toys, you know, kind of feels like they've reloaded a little bit. And, you know, going forward, we'll see what else they can do. So for Dano, I'm Gabe. We gotta do something. We gotta get out of here because the basketball gods are telling us that it's time to wrap up. We've been here like all March. We've been doing so much stuff talking about college hoops. It's just going to go right into the WNBA season. We'll be right back. By the time the season starts, make sure you check out Courtside with Christy and Gabe, probably back next week. And then obviously Dice It Up with Dano and Ice. And also check out we're going to have some more content come from the Final Four.
Yeah, we have some great interviews that we're dropping here soon. Gabe and I might be making a little road trip through some ACC, SEC country next year, doing some really cool content with some awesome programs and coaches, maybe a little golf with some head coaches, maybe me trying to guard a couple D1 players getting cooked.
Can't wait to see that.
We love seeing self-deprecating humor for myself. But Gabe, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming to New York. Thanks for staying in our guest room.
Dude, this is an amazing time. It's a great time when we get to hang out, when you get to do stuff with like your actual friends. Like it's super dope. So we hope you guys enjoy it. We hope you guys are, you guys are also our real friends. Like we're all internet friends here, guys. So let us know if you got any ideas for a road trip in the off season, and let us know if you're going to any WNBA games. There's a chance we might be at them. So for Dano and Gabe, we'll talk to you soon.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.